Joining me now on this edition of Our Town is Greg Wood. Greg's the pastor over at the Presbyterian Church of the Siuslaw, but we're here to talk about a couple things that you've got going on, and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Now, let's talk about First Step. This is something that's been ongoing that you've been working on kind of under the radar, as you said before we went on the air,
right,
for years.
Yes. First Step is a transitional housing program for families. And we've defined families as being a custodial child with an adult, or a minor child with a custodial parent or two. And we have been working on this program really for about 5 years. We had a group that met together for 2 years and just talked and tried to brainstorm and figure out what we could do. And we ended up with the model of working with families, trying to break the cycle of poverty so children don't grow up living in a car thinking that's normal. And so we kind of got started backwards by somebody donated a trailer about the same time somebody needed a place, a family needed a place to stay. And after that, we said, oh, look at this. This will work. And
when out in the public, you know, the average person doesn't necessarily see what's going on in the community as far as the needs right. go. And I think if more people knew, I think there'd be a whole lot more support for it. How long has this been, this need been there? I imagine forever, probably. But
well, what we find as amazing is that the school system at various times has said that at any time they may have as many as 40 children going to school who are housing insecure. And that's terrible. I don't believe you can go to school and live in a tent or live in a car or bounce around from here to there to somewhere else. And so there's clearly a need. And another dynamic of that is that some of the students, the 40 that they would have at any one time that would be housing insecure, it's not the same 40 throughout this full school year. And so this is not a current statistic, but that may entail as many as 60 children throughout the school year that don't have a stable place to go home every day. And there are some great groups working with these kids. The Boys and Girls Club is one, so that a child might get breakfast at school and lunch at school and dinner through the Boys and Girls Club, but that still doesn't mean they have a place to sleep at night or internet that they can hook up to or a place that they can put their clothing so that when they get home from school or get to their car or their campsite, that their stuff is still there. And so it's not a huge problem like you might see in Eugene, but for those kids, it is. It's almost life and death, and it's certainly a lot to do with their future. So,
do some of these students have custodial parents?
Oh, and they do
and
have
some don't, or is that?
Well, there are some unaccompanied minors students, and Safe Shelter for Siuslaw Students is working with that population right now. And they have a great program for unaccompanied minors where they're trying to hook up unaccompanied minors with host families. And Suzanne Manhines is the one who's coordinating that program right now and doing an excellent job. That's a good program. Our program, First Step, doesn't deal with the unaccompanied minors. That's a whole nother, you know, ball of wax to deal with, because there's so many legal issues and, you know, parenting issues and those kinds of things. Our focus is just on the family unit. And so
what is the current availability right now? How many as of today or this month are you able to help, and what are your plans for the future?
Okay. So right at this moment, we have four trailers. We have three on the property at the Presbyterian Church, and we have one out in the county on some private property. So we can work with four families at a time. We would very much like to bump that number up to seven, and so we're looking for three more sites where we can put trailers. In the code revision for Florence, they've allowed churches to house three trailers on church property. And so, you know, we've been reaching out to some churches to say, would this be a possibility? And we've had some good response and are in some conversations about that. But if there were another way to do this, another place where we could house three more trailers or even more, we think the need is there. We get several calls a week about people looking for a place to be.
Now, we're talking here for these particular things. This is for the transitional housing first step.
Yeah.
But you're working with some other ideas on creating some more long-term things too, right?
Right. We have a piece of property that's essentially across from Sand Ranch, which is being currently used by the Emergency Cold Weather Shelter to site their pallet shelter village. And that's a whole nother story that I'd be happy to talk about with somebody else at some other time if they want. But it's a 2.8-acre parcel of land. It ultimately, our goal is to have two eightplex buildings there so that we could house 16 families in transitional as our transitional housing program. And then there's enough room there that we are also planning to build 24 apartments. And there's also a commercial piece because it's zoned commercial. And so we are looking for a strategic partner that would want to build something that would support our mission and our goals of transitional housing. I mean, we want something that makes sense to be with us, you know, that we could work with. And so we're looking at daycare, putting in a building for daycare, something like that. And then also some of the other social service groups in Florence we've been in conversation with. And no specific plans yet on that. But that would be that's our goal. And that's probably a five-year goal at this point. With COVID, a lot of funders pivoted away from bricks and mortar and infrastructure and those kinds of things to COVID support. So we're about 18 months or 2 years behind on that kind of fundraising. But we're working on that. And that will be I think it'll be a good thing for Florence and a good thing for us as an organization. So,
do you have a fairly hefty staff that's working on this, or is this the effort of just a couple of people? How's that?
Well, we have a board of eight people, and then we also have Ken Gaylord is our executive director, and he's helping sort of with the day-to-day running of our village right now, and also working on some of the fundraising for us. And then we are in the process of hiring a resident services advocate, and that's the person that really runs the transitional housing program. The idea is that someone would come into our program and with our resident services advocate develop a plan for what they need to do, because if they have previous debt that they need to pay off before they can get their credit score up so that they can rent an apartment, you know, there are things like that need to happen. We've helped so far people get jobs. We've helped get birth certificates so they can get their Social Security card so that they can get a job. I mean, there's just all kinds of hang-ups that – not hang-ups, but challenges that people have bringing forward that keep them from finding a job and getting into permanent, stable housing. And so our resident services advocate does that job and helps people make the plan and then follow the plan. And then another big piece – I'm sort of wandering away from your original question, but you probably experienced with that. You ask a question, and then you get the answer the person wants to give. But
yeah. It's all important stuff, though.
All important stuff, yeah. Another big piece is that we get people to start saving money, which is a huge thing. And the idea is that by the time they've been with us for about 10 months, which is what we see as our program scope to be 10 months, a person will or a family will have saved enough money that they'll be able to make the down payment or the initial payment that they need to for deposit, first and last month's rent. And that's a pretty significant thing and a pretty wonderful thing. There are groups in town that will help. SOS has a program that will help people with initial deposits to get into an apartment. But there's so much more. It's the apartment. It's the utilities. It's cable. It's telephone. It's, you know, it's on and on and on. And a lot of these things, if you've been living in Florence for a while, you just take all for granted and don't remember that Central Lincoln asks you for a deposit because you have no rental history and you have no payment history. So that's another part of the program. And our resident services advocate really works with the people to do that. And then we also try and funnel people into existing programs in Florence. So SOS has a good money management program, and Habitat for Humanity will help people with budgeting programs too. Those kinds of things, job training, you know, St. Vincent de Paul and Goodwill have good programs. And so if and when that's appropriate, we try and funnel people into those existing programs because people are already doing it and doing it well, and it's a good way for us to support their program, but also gets the needed services for the families that we're working with.
So, you mentioned earlier, because of the scope of this, obviously fundraising is a very big part of being able to make this happen. Mm-hmm. Is there a way that if somebody hears this, they can donate, they can, you know, help out in that way?
Absolutely.
In order to make this dream come true.
Yeah, absolutely. First step is we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so all donations can be tax deductible, and we appreciate people that make the big enough tax deductible donation that they can claim it above the standard deduction that all of us take anymore. But P.O. Box 1331 is our mailing address. If people would like to do that, they're more than welcome to call me at the church. My cell phone number is all over the place, it seems, anymore. You want me to give my
number?
You can.
I mean, it's if someone's driving, they're probably not going to be able to write it down.
Right.
But if they're sitting listening, and they'll be able to hear it again, too. So.
Well, you can reach me through the Presbyterian Church. My cell number is 541-991-8208. 991-8208. Yeah.
It's hard to, with me, I have a hard time remembering mine because I don't dial it myself.
So, don't dial it much, yeah.
Those days are gone when you can, you know, you have to dial a phone number. You just kind of pick it up and hit it.
Well, and if you know of someone, a family that's struggling, we do take direct referrals also. And so they could call the Presbyterian Church. This isn't necessarily a Presbyterian Church program, but that's really the easiest thing to remember, I think, mm-hmm. for folks. They could call there or stop by there and talk to me about it, and we can get an application. And because we really don't want people living out on the street with kids, especially at this time. And so... Yeah.
Right. Greg Wood, thank you so much for stopping in here.
And oh, you're welcome.
Happy to share this information with everybody in the community.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Coming up next on the January edition of Our Town, Andy Vavora with Travel Lane County, going to talk about dune restoration.